Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Coming up in just moments. But first, welcome to Hour 2. Dave, Jason, Chris. All the way till 10 a.m. Then we hand the baton. There's actually a baton we have to hand off so the mics work.
Yes.
To Styles and Watkins.
Was that the problem with the Kings broadcast last night?
Yeah, there was.
Someone forgot the baton.
Jason was playing football with it.
Oh. Yeah.
What do you call that kind of football? Is it
like paper football?
The thing where you fold the paper into a triangle and you flick it?
Yeah, paper football.
Paper football.
That was not paper football.
That was like you were taking like a spit wad, basically.
Yeah,
like
on the end of a spoon.
And you were
catapult.
Yeah, Whitey was filming it yesterday at
a big moment.
Media room. Big moment. And Matt George was the field goal poles.
Yeah.
And you got one right down into Cleveland, Ohio. Right down his shirt.
I did.
Yeah, how about that? Good for you.
George Canyon.
Top five Jason Ross sports moments?
Probably one.
Probably number one?
Yeah.
In front of depending on who you believe, a reported 7 or 8,000 people yesterday, the Giants beat the Athletics 4-1 at the Coliseum.
That was regular season because I saw the Dodgers and the Padres play.
No, what happens is that they played in Korea, those counted, but then went back to spring training. They have spring training. Then there's opening day Thursday. Those are going to count, but then everybody goes back to Korea in May and plays a bunch of games that don't count.
Got it.
I think.
Super easy.
All right, we haven't talked about this in a while. Let's talk about the Oakland Athletics, and let's talk about the Oakland Athletics and Sacramento. So here is some of what I'm hearing, for what it's worth, which isn't much.
Make it happen.
No.
Yes.
On air fight. we've talked about it before. You're for it.
Well, for it if it's a last straw, if there's no saving Oakland.
Of course.
Right. That's priority one for everybody.
And I'm very, very much against it if, to your point, it screws Oakland and lessens the chances of staying in Oakland by 5%, much less more.
And I'm against it because I don't want Jeff Fisher anywhere near Sacramento.
Right, or John.
Or John Fisher.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher's a terrible
coach.
What's
he going to do, go 7-9?
81-81.
That being said, what we knew before was, here's what we know. The A's are going to play in Oakland this year.
Correct.
We don't know about next year, the year after, the year after. They say it's going to take 3 years before Vegas is open. Three seasons.
And allegedly Vegas in 28?
Yeah, sounds right. And there's three choices. Well, really two and a half. There's Vegas. That's the half choice. It just doesn't sound like they have the infrastructure or are ready to be able to house the team for 3 years prior. Just because, in large part, because of the heat. That leaves, I meant three and a half.
I
apologize. One is Oakland. I think that's the one that we'd all prefer. Oh, I'm sorry. I think that's the one that most would prefer. There have been talks. There's the Oakland Roots and another team that have agreed to play in Oakland. The A's have said they'd share the Coliseum, but there's been talks back and forth, this, that, whatever. Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City's like, yeah, dude, we're ready to go. We have a ton of money behind this thing. We have a great facility. The A's have kind of set that as, okay, cool, that's a serious contender. I don't think that's where they want to be, but they know that they haven't, no pun intended, an ace in the hole if everything else falls apart.
Is San Francisco out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that is out. That is out. Playing there is out. And then that leaves Sacramento. And I think, again, from the whispers, the A's actually would prefer to play in Sacramento. There's John Fisher and Vivek Ranadive have a relationship. In fact, Vivek spoke to TV yesterday about that, how they're friends. Think what you will. That's just what he said. It is a far closer commute and or relocation temporarily up here. They would, instead of in Salt Lake, where they would be drawing on 100% new A's fans, they have a large A's market up here. Not to mention Sacramento is the biggest market in the country with only one major league team. The problem, from what I have understood, or at least the tipping point here on the A's to Sacramento, has been Comcast. Comcast currently has a deal with the A's, a TV deal, that is for a lot of money. Sacramento is not the market that Oakland is. So naturally, if the A's were to relocate for 3 years to Sacramento, Comcast would want to adjust that number down and renegotiate that deal. Now, what's interesting is that the Kings own the Rivercats, which means they have a huge amount to gain in this situation. And the Kings also have a contract with Comcast. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't necessarily want to cross-pollinate, but there's a little bit of maneuvering and leverage there on both sides. The weight, as I understand it, has been Comcast making an offer, a counteroffer, if you will, on adjusting that rate down so that the A's know what they're dealing with. Now, sources say there was movement on that yesterday. And whether it was verbal or written, I don't know, but that Comcast did a thing. It sounds like there are politics now involved, going all the way up to the governor, who very much want the A's to stay in California as long as possible, preferably in Oakland perhaps, but certainly in California. I would say this. The way the chessboard looks right now at 7:10 a.m., keeping in mind that these are deals done behind closed doors, things can fall apart. You're also dealing with the A's here. If I were betting, this is not me. I'm not speaking to emotion or anything right now. I'm just simply reporting here. Everyone knows how I feel about this. If I were a betting man, I would put incredibly heavy odds on the A's coming to Sacramento, mm-hmm. and an announcement sometime in the next week or two. Now, that could still fall apart, but that certainly sounds where things are going right now. And then we get into, if that were to happen, then we have to get into, or we don't have to, but I will choose to get into the ethics, the emotion, the thoughts surrounding it. Obviously, as a station, we will be all over that. Of course we will. Jason, you know, we had some great conversations about this. You and I wouldn't say we're on opposite sides. I actually think we're very much on the same side, just different outcomes. I will say for me personally, if the A's were to come to Sacramento, the very first thing I would have to do is talk to the people that know things. Because I think the only way that I could possibly even begin to stomach the A's coming to Sacramento is if I knew for an absolute fact that Oakland was off the table. Not that Oakland was leveraged, not that Oakland was unlikely, but that I need to know that the A's made a decision at some point that it was going to be Salt Lake City or Sacramento.
And I don't know all of the inner workings, but wouldn't that be, well, I mean, I guess there are loopholes in that, but I feel like if they got to that point, that's what happened, is my belief. I mean, I could be wrong on
but
that.
But the only issue there is that if Sacramento, along with Salt Lake City, gave the A's leverage over Oakland, yeah. And in other words, if it's a situation where if Sacramento backed out, that would have increased the chances of the A's staying in Oakland for the next 3 years. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Mm-hmm. If the A's were basically saying, guys, we're going to leave Oakland for the next 3 years.
Right.
It's up to you. We're either going to Salt Lake City or we're going to Sacramento.
Than be here.
Then I think I'd rather them be here, but it would also, I think it would be very, very important to do it with open eyes.
Yes, but I would also say this. Now, if this even comes about, the Vegas is still shaky.
That's right.
I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility?
Possession's 9/10 of the law.
The second they get out of Oakland for yeah. Salt Lake or for yeah. Sacramento,
yeah.
there's a chance that's the final home.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the home.
And it may not be a big chance, but there right. is there's a chance.
Well, right now there's none.
Right.
They're not
bottom of the ninth, you're down 5 runs with an out.
Right now they're not going to Salt Lake. Right that's now right. they're not going to Sacramento, so there's no chance.
That's right.
But the second they leave Oakland
right.
with a path to Vegas, mm-hmm. if there's a stop in between, there's a chance the stop in between is the stop. A chance.
And I would, and I've very much been conversing, and so have you, with guys like Brody Brazil, Casey mm-hmm. Pratt, and then a lot of A's fans. And I'd be very curious. I'd love to get the most diehard A's fans in a room together and be like, okay, apart from just not being a fan anymore, which I understand, but if you were told there is a 0.0% chance that the A's are going to stay in Oakland and your choice is Sacramento or Las Vegas, I honestly wonder what they'd say. Right. Some of them might say Vegas, get them as far away from me as possible. Others might say Sacramento. Maybe them being here makes it more likely that they could go be up for sale, and there's some deep pockets here. But the number one thing I would want to get way ahead of right now, because I guarantee you it's going to be a talking point, and anybody using this as a talking point, is at best ill-informed. Well, is at best irrationally optimistic, and at worst ill-informed or just being disingenuous. The A's coming to Sacramento, if that were to happen, is not, it's not, it's under absolutely no circumstances. Zero chance. It's an expansion tryout or it's a relocation tryout for another team. That is not, that is something that's going to get pushed. I can promise you if that's the case, no chance. The Giants will not let that happen. Once the A's are gone, if they leave this state, the Giants will protect this territory with every ounce and fiber there being, and they have the votes and they have the power to completely cut this off, which is why if you're wondering why would the Giants allow their AAA affiliate to relocate so that the A's could stay in Sacramento, if that's the case, it's because the Giants have been assured that if that, which is why I'm not really hot on the A's staying here, the Giants have been assured, hey, just let the Rivercats do their thing. You got 3 years and we're finally getting them out, and you will own all of Northern California and part of Central California. Do not underestimate the bloody hand the Giants have in this whole thing and the influence they have in this whole thing as
well.
Your
team.
Former team. For now. We'll take a break when we come back. Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Kings, kings, more kings. And one question in here. Hey, remember when we all wanted Malik Monk to start over Kevin Huerter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if things keep going this way? And next year it's, do we want Malik Monk to start over Keon Ellis? Does that change your thought pattern? Mm-hmm. Three for Madness next.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Not only did the Kings win last night, but they got some help.
Woo.
Oh, yeah, big time. A possible other team, Willody.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Couple of Willodies last night.
Oh, big Willody.
Huge, yeah. Big, fat, hairy Willody on the East Coast last night.
How can that be? The best team in the game.
Well, maybe they're in playoff form right now.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Three for Madness brought to you by
that tickled Chris.
Fire Wings. I love tickling Chris. Question one.
The Kings have now broken their two largest team losing streaks to the Bucks and Sixers. Is this the year that they break their make it to the second round streak?
You know, I'm going to say this, and I've been hard on this team all year, but dollar for dollar, player for player, this is a better team than they were last year. I think this team beats last year's team in a seven-game series. Now, that doesn't mean that this team, that this is a better, I should put an asterisk there. This is a better team than last year if they're focused and if they're all mentally there. This team is certainly prone to huge flops on the face. But I think if you had last year's team playing to the best of their abilities and this year's team playing to the best of their abilities, I think this team wins in five or six in a seven-game series if they face each other. This is a team that is better equipped to advance at least past the first round. If the season ended right now, I think it's the Timberwolves and Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a hell of a series. I do worry about a couple of things. Number one, which are natural worries. Number one, the Kings going cold from outside. Also, I think going into this playoff series, whether it works or not, I don't know. But I can tell you Domantas Sabonis is going to be incredibly motivated to overcome all of the crap he's still dealing. I honestly think he partially did make, you know, we talk about all-star snubs. I think we're developing into the point where I don't have every all-star snub in front of me, but you're not going to convince me Domantas Sabonis isn't the biggest all-star snub in history.
Right.
And I honestly think part of the reason he got snubbed was because of that Kevon Looney matchup last year. And that still has stuck. People forget that he had a broken hand. People forget that the Warriors threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. And he still averaged 16 and 14 or whatever the hell it was. I think he's going to go in. He's got this thing on him now unfairly that, like, oh, once you get in the playoffs and it slows down, he's completely ineffective and he can't make a shot outside of 2 feet. He's going to be incredibly motivated. And we're going to see. Is he like Barry Bonds in the playoffs, which forever sucked until the Angels series, where he actually had a great series, mm-hmm. even though they still lost? Or is he? Was that a flash in the pan? So I think this team is better equipped to advance, but they gotta have the mental part with the physical part too.
Yeah, and it's really difficult to say because I agree. I think some elements are better. I think they're noticeably better in some elements, but it's going to be matchups, right? I mean, Did they get the wrong one? Is it another team equally as good or playing better basketball at the time? I think they're equipped to do it. I really do. But it's going to come down to who they get in the postseason, which matchup, and is it right for them?
How do you feel about the Timberwolves?
I feel pretty good about the Timberwolves. Actually, I feel better about the Timberwolves, honestly, with Towns. As weird as that might be.
Interesting. No, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, just because there's some certain things that he's going to hurt you, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. I don't want to trivialize him.
Yeah.
But when they play two bigs, they also have to guard the Kings. And
right.
I think that's where, now there'll be moments that the Kings play small, and I think that could be advantageous. And then also moments that hurts them. So that's the fun part of it, like the chess match of a long series.
If you could pick one of their bigs, Towns or Gobert, to play, which one makes Minnesota better?
Probably Gobert, but I'm not 100%.
I'm 90% sure.
Okay,
I think you're right. I think Rudy Gobert is
the defensive wins over the offensive wins. Yes. Towns, I think
100%. Yeah. I think he's such a game changer on defense. It's absolutely ridiculous. But either way, it's nice to have two options.
Yes.
But I think you have a point, though. Putting the two of them together may not be as good as one of them on their own because of that height and lack of speed. Yeah. All right, question number two, please.
Question two.
Okay, you wanted Monk starting for Herter, but what about next year? Would you want him starting for Ellis?
Okay. If it meant the difference between Monk going or staying, sorry, Keon. But I don't think they're a better team necessarily if that happens. You know, there's a difference between having Monk come off the bench. By the way, we've talked many times about Monk starting for Herter and being in favor for it. This is a little bit of a different animal. The Sacramento Kings' improvements in defense over the last month, really specifically 3 weeks, have been worldly. And Keon Ellis is a part of that. Keon Ellis is what now? 7-1, I think.
7-1
is
the starter.
And the one loss was the Wizards.
I know.
And by the way, Keon Ellis, I think, played as few or close to as few minutes in that game as any of the others. I think they're a better team with Keon. So far right now, in a very small sample size, I think they're a better team with Keon Ellis starting than with Malik Monk starting and Keon's coming off the bench. Yes, it's nice to bring defensive stoppers off the bench, but that's not the same as bringing an offensive spark off the bench. But like I said, if Malik Monk's negotiating with Monty McNair, it's like, okay, dude, I just need to know that I'm going to start or I got to go to Philly or wherever. All right. Well, we might not be as good of a team, but we'll figure it out. We don't want to lose you.
Yeah. You know, what's going to be interesting is the next 11 games for many reasons, the standings, where they finish.
Yeah.
But fact finding on Keon, right? I mean, 7-1, you can't ignore. I'm not saying that's the end all be all. Is it coinciding with just the team playing better? Is it a coincidence? I mean, the stats, the plus minus, the difference he's made defensively, the metrics are showing it. So if they're substantially better over the final 11.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things that really makes decision makers think. I mean, I certainly want Monk back. There's no reason to say, oh, just because Keon, if he had just this amazing finish, we don't need to sign Monk. Monk's super valuable to this team.
Yeah.
But it makes you, it's not quite the same equivalent day, but it's finding Brock Purdy. And it's like, wow, we can start this guy at QB and save everywhere and spend everywhere else. Keon just got elevated from a two-way contract a few weeks ago. Well, maybe a month or two ago. That's amazing. And he could be a key piece to a starting lineup on a playoff team. That's incredible.
It really, really is.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's a hell of a decision, man.
Yeah. And then you obviously have to decide. I mean, maybe our guy Herter played his last game. I hope not. I don't know. Who knows? These are all things that we can like every single player. That's not how you do this. You got to try to make yourself better.
Maybe you have to redesign your entire offense around a front line of Sabonis and Zach Edey. I don't know.
Could.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Kings don't have the first round pick this year.
Right.
Maybe they trade up.
Well, as long as they make it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, maybe they trade one of their 700 second round picks.
Yes.
move up and get Zach Edey. Hey, we never really talked about that. How crazy? I don't mean crazy like in a bad way, but like some of the mocks have Zach Edey going like between 31 and 40, and Bob Gerald has him like going 11. Yeah. And I feel like that's going to be really interesting to see where Zach Edey goes in the draft this year. Question three, please.
Question three.
Kings versus Dallas tonight. What's your confidence level?
Well, last Wednesday, the Kings won in Canada. Thursday, they lost in Washington. Saturday, they won in Orlando. Monday, they won at home against Philly. And then they play tonight.
Fifth game in 7 days.
So it's the fifth game in 7 days. This is day seven.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. It's not just the fifth game in 7 days. It's the fifth game over multiple time zones and literally international.
Yeah. It's the only time it's happened. It will happen all season.
I've been saying for the last week, I think the Kings will win both.
Ooh, that'd be massive.
If they're going to lose this one, on paper, if they're going to lose one, it's going to be tonight.
Dallas played last night too, and they traveled.
But of course, if you told me the Kings were going to win tonight and lose on Thursday, I don't know. Friday, excuse me. Also, we need to find out, can someone at Shootaround, some media person listening that's going to be there, are you going to be at Shootaround? You won't be at Shootaround. No. Right? Can somebody ask
what they're doing for the next
3 days? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. What the heck are you doing? Are you staying here? And if so, do you have any plans? Are you going to Napa? Are you going to go to the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco and take that like glass elevator thingy up and down? I did that in fourth grade. That was cool. Are you going to go rafting? Probably a little cold. Railroad Museum?
Have the buffets prepared for Domantas. Domantas, jeez. Luka Doncic.
What are you inferring?
The fact that you flubbed that so hard made it actually funnier.
I know.
That is true. Our restaurant's stocking up.
Yeah.
For the onslaught of
He's
the appetite.
Eating up.
Yeah.
You got sausage arms and cankles.
Because Chalupa Donthick is going to be here for 4 days.
The good thing is, with the two games here, there won't be one complaint by Luka during a game.
Nine. Zero.
Now that we're talking about restaurants, do you think he's that guy like, oh, this wasn't cooked right. Oh, I wanted this on the side.
Sends it back?
Yeah. Like a picky eater?
Yeah.
You're honestly implying that you think Luka Doncic gets a plate in front of him and takes the time to look at it and discern it.
No, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you right now, it's done. Next. Don't isolate that, please.
As he goes for a 40 triple-double tonight.
I know. We kid because we care.
Do you think In-N-Out can handle that?
Also, how does Domantas Sabonis not have an In-N-Out sponsorship? Then again, when was the last time you saw an In-N-Out commercial? So there's that.
Yeah, I don't really need it.
At the airport?
Seriously. Oh, hey, we have an airport. Let's use it. We'll take a break when we come back. It was a wild night. Wild night in the NBA. The Kings got some help, and other things happened that were silly. We'll go around the world in the National Basketball Association next.
To get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Tom says on the YouTube chat, I feel like Luka goes to Orangevale after games and drinks heavily when playing in Sacramento.
Orangevale, Luka?
I just found out the other day randomly that this guy I used to work with when I was a teenager, he was younger than me. Remember I told you I used to work at this like telemarketing place?
Yes.
And I managed it for a while, right?
Oh, you have to check out that documentary.
I really, really, honestly, I've had so many, I really do. And it's even saved.
You were a manager?
I started when I was 15 and I managed the Carmichael office, I want to say from the time I was 19 to 21.
What did that entail? Did you have pens?
Follow the script.
Here's the thing. When you work in that, right, like you're telemarketing all day. You open it at 1 p.m. or we opened at noon and you go noon to 9 p.m. And the primetime hours are, of course, when everyone's home. And you got to be on the phone. And every day it's like, hey, this is Carmichael Dave. I'm calling for the police. Thingy, dingy, dingy. Do you think law enforcement, you know, there's always some jive-ass question that they'd start with. Do you think law enforcement could use more support and help and keep kids off of drugs? Like, I'm not joking. That's literally, like, the question or one of them. Well, yeah, of course they do. Well, fantastic, Mr. Ross. That's why we're calling. Right now, the Police Athletic League's doing their keep kids off a cocaine rally at the whatever the hell. Yeah. And, you know, for your small donation of $100 for the whole year, it's going to keep tons of kids doing great, awesome things.
What'd you say your name was?
My name's Dave.
Lose my number, Dave.
And then, you know, you got to cross them off what you don't. But it would always be like, you say $100 and be $100. I don't know. Well, how about, you know what? Honestly, we understand times are tough. How about $35?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. Okay, great. Well, we'll send out the thing and you mail it back because, you know, we just wanted the $35. Anyways, it was whatever.
But you managed that.
So anyways, you know, shockingly, I have a career in radio. Like, I had a deep voice when I was a kid. I knew how to read. So that's all you really needed to do. But the great thing about being a manager is you didn't have to get on the phone anymore. And if you did get on the phone, you were calling what were called PCs, previous contributors. So there were people that already contributed. Yeah. Some for years did it every year. Most people honestly thought, like, this the thing, that you get a little sticker that you put on your car with, like, the police badge on it. And all that, like, pull me over. Go ahead. I'm a big supporter. You know, that type of thing. So it was implied. We never said that, of course. But anyways, there's a big difference between calling somebody cold and calling somebody who gives it. Hey, we just want to sign you up for your, it looks like you give 50 every year. This year it's 75. Is that good? No. Okay. 50 then. Or, oh yeah, 75. I bumped it up. So you do that. Anyways, you get off the phone and my assistant manager, one of them was a guy who was actually a year younger than me. And we ran that. I mean, listen, I won't say where I worked for. I know I used a random charity, but it could have been whatever. But let me tell you something, dude. We would work our tails off, and we pretty much lived there. I turned apart. This is right on Fair Oaks Boulevard near Marconi, right? Right by, I don't know where the hell it was by. It was a taco place. And there was a back room in there that we used. I ended up being able to get a pool table delivered there.
Yeah, you're right. And worked your cans off.
One of our callers was a weed dealer. And so we always, you know, whatever. So after, you know, 9 o'clock had hit, we'd finish everything up and we'd just, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's the year you won Manager of the Year.
That is a little trophy and everything. Yeah. And anyways, long story long, and then we'll get back to it. I just found this out. So this guy who's responsible, but not a guy I would pick to be super successful in life. He owns like two bars in Orangevale now. He owns them. I stopped. What's it called? Scotty's Hideaway. Have you ever heard of that in Orangevale? Sorry, give him a plug there, but there's
can't find it.
Oh no, he bought a bar. It's like, you have a bar? I want a bar. I do really kind of want to buy a bar. I feel like it's a lot of work. Plus, people get in fights and stuff. And there's, you know,
where are you putting the bar?
I want to get a bar and open it right by G1C. I think it'd be awesome.
What will be your gimmick?
It's just a Kings theme bar.
Okay,
just a Kings sports bar with dartboards, pool tables, stuff. It's just old fashioned sports bar. Have a sports bar right by there. Maybe put a little studio in there.
Axe throwing.
I feel like there's some liability there.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to deal with all that insurance stuff. But, you know, I'd be a good bar owner. I don't drink. I'm not going to get high on my own supply. I mean, I drink sodas occasionally, one a day, maybe. Kings got help last night. That was my transition.
Yeah.
Kings got help last night in a way they did not expect. The Phoenix Suns, dude. What are you doing? Because everyone played, except for Victor Wembanyama.
That's right.
But everybody played pretty much for the Suns. Kevin Durant had 29, 8, and 6.
Booker at 36.
Booker at 36. Bradley Beal was there. Well, that's sure the hate that we didn't get him.
Yeah, they lost 3 of 4 to San Antonio.
That is, you know, some matchups make styles make fights, they say.
And now 10 games left for the Suns, the team they play with the worst record left, the Kings. Well, that's the worst team they have left.
26 points and 18 rebounds for Jeremy Sochan. 26 for Florida State's Devin Vassell with 7 assists. And, dude, the Spurs win 104-102. And, boy, was that a help for Sacramento, who now has sole possession of sixth place.
Yeah. on the tiebreaker, right? Tied with Dallas. They have the tiebreaker that gets this two-game little mini playoff series now, and the Spurs drop to eight, or excuse me, the Suns drop to eight.
The Boston Celtics outscored their opponent last night 98-74. Wait, I flipped that. The Atlanta Hawks outscored the Boston Celtics 98-76. The Celtics led in Atlanta 44-22 after one and lost by two.
Yeah. Led by 30 at one point. I saw the stat. Teams are 152-0 when leading by 30 this year until that one. The team with the best record in the league. And Atlanta didn't have Trae Young either.
No, they did not, which, by the way, is that saying something? Mm-hmm. No, it was a balanced night. Two guys, Bogdan Bogdanovic and not Clint Capella, who was the other, DeAndre Hunter, both in the mid-20s, 24 and 22, all five starters in double figures, plus Bruno Fernando with 13 off the bench. It was just one of those like crazy, crazy moments. Mm-hmm. I didn't help the Kings. So that's just, that's a Suns Willody and that's a Celtics Willody.
Yeah.
If I ever saw one. The Knicks won 124-99. We mentioned yesterday that Knicks game versus the Kings at Madison Square Garden will be on TNT.
Yes.
You know another interesting fact about that game?
What's that?
And a fun fact, Jason Ross, our general manager will be in attendance.
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah. Yes.
I also think, did I see Crown Downtown saying some of them will be in attendance as well? So.
Well, and even in that game last night, random stat from that one, former King Dante DiVincenzo set the Knicks record for 11 made threes in a game. He took 23-pointers. I mean, 11 of 20 is still good,
what
though.
What the hell, man? Where was that?
Scored 40.
Where was that? Here. Dante. You couldn't have given us some of that?
Yeah.
Wiener. Dante DiVincenzo, 14 of 23, as you said, 11 of 20 from beyond the arc. 40 points for him. 28 points for Jalen Brunson. 124. The Knicks hold another team under 100. 99. Is your final. The Nuggets beat the Grizzlies. The Mavs beat the Jazz, so they keep pace. And how about those Pacers, speaking of keeping pace? 133-116 was your final. Shockingly, once we get closer to playoff time, a James Harden-led team is beginning to trail.
Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they in a tie now with the Pelicans?
They are in a tie now with the Pelicans, Jason Ross, when we zoom out and look at the standings. And
there's a couple interesting things going on right now.
This is as of 7:40 in the morning.
Okay.
It could change.
Oh, you're right.
Could change later today. The Nuggets, still just one game up on the Thunder, one and a half up on the Minnesota Timberwolves. So there is definitely a battle going on between the defending champions and the two newbies.
Yeah, but that's your top three. That's not going to change.
No.
Yeah.
Then you have what was... the Clippers right there. Mm-hmm. The Clippers have officially been caught. The Clippers have lost two in a row. The Clippers have lost 6 of 10. The Pelicans and Clippers are now tied at 44-27 mm-hmm. for the 4 and the 5 spot. The Kings and the Mavs now, who are tied at 42-29, they are just two back of both the Clippers and the Pelicans. Oh, God. I just realized something. And the Suns are a half game back of the Kings and Mavs. Yeah. Oh, God. You know what's in play here? Pelicans-Kings, first round.
A 5-4, 4-5?
Yeah.
Potentially.
I legit would rather tank and be play. Sixth. I would rather play the Wolves, the Thunder, or the Nuggets than the Pelicans. Like, unless some... Well, I mean, I know Ingram's hurt, and you don't wish injury on anyone.
Right.
But unless, like... I need, like, another injury on the Pelicans for me to feel any sort of confident about that. I don't want any part of the Pelicans. I don't want to go near them. I don't want to see a Pelican. I don't want to see a cartoon Pelican.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to New Orleans, which is my favorite city, other than Sacramento. I don't want to go to Louisiana.
Yeah. Wow.
But the Kings right now, if the Clippers continue to fall...
Right. Kings play both of them still once.
I didn't look at that.
And then did you look at the hottest team in the league, Team 11?
I love this.
Over 500. Now what? Half back of the Warriors? Or one back?
They are one half game. The Houston Rockets, who have won 9 in a row. And yes, why is it whenever they play the Kings, it's in the middle or starting a giant win streak? They did that earlier this year.
I know.
And then they sucked.
And no Şengün.
No Şengün, who injured himself against the Sacramento Kings. By the way, you mentioned this as we go to break. Here's a trivia question for you. You probably know, and if you know, don't answer. Who's the hottest team in the East?
I do know.
We actually talked about this before the show.
That'd be the Washington Wizards.
The first three-game win streak of the year.
The Washington Wizards going into the Kings game had won 11 games. They're now on a three-game win streak. The Robitussin of the NBA, baby. You're Sacramento Kings. We'll take a break when we come back. Let's talk about Domantas Sabonis. He's not just a fun song to sing. He's also a fantastic basketball player. What a year the biggest all-star snub of all time is having. And did that all-star snub in the end? Was that the best thing for Domas and for Kings fans? We're going to get into Domantas Sabonis. This is Stats coming up right after this.
Michael Dade.
He has very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. Jason made it funny right before we went on the air. I would like to ask, you know, we appreciate the audience. We don't say that enough. We never do. You can't say it enough. Appreciate all of you. Some of you are here sometimes. And some of you are here occasionally. And we appreciate each and every one of you. And I thought about this last night, Jason. Saying it's one thing, but actions are another. So I thought I just want to hijack part of this segment here. On behalf of you and Chris, all three of us, wanted to do something nice for the audience. I have a $100 gift card to Jiffy Lube. I was going to use it on springerizing my vehicle. Not Jerry, but other stuff. Right. Did Jerry leave us, by the way, recently?
Yeah.
R.I.P. Jerry Springer. I'm going to give it to the audience. I say we are going to give this from all three of us with love, KIT, BFF. All you have to do is call in right now at 1-800-920-1140. And here's your task. I know a lot of you were listening last night to the legendary Gary Gerald. You probably heard his Jiffy Lube drive of the game. Call in right now and tell us what that drive of the game was. We're going to give you a $100 gift certificate just for listening.
It's that simple.
Because we heart emoji.
Yeah.
Arrow through at you. Yeah, the thing, the what Jason's doing. The thing where you make a heart with your hands. Much like, I don't know, Domas was making some sort of gestures to his family after he broke the record yesterday. By the way, very classy move by Kevin Love as well, tweeting out congratulations to the new double-double
good
king.
In arena tribute. That was a goosebump moment in the arena.
100%.
During a timeout, the whole timeout, everybody's just watching him. Because Sabonis gets up, hugs Mike Brown.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
It was so cool. It's such a really, really cool accomplishment. Here's what it sounded like.
Kyle Lowry down near the midcourt line, throws it cross-court to Buddy Hield, creeping forward. Now drives it on Duarte, sealed off, has to give it up, run toward the rim. Ball stripped out of the hands of K.J. Martin. It's grabbed by the Kings. Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell on the run, and into Keegan. Keegan goes to the rim, rejected at the rim, grabbed by Sabonis, and he puts it back up and in. Sabonis doing his thing that time after a rejected shot. It's now 69-53. Here's a pass broken up by the Kings in traffic. Great defensive play by Keegan Murray. Sabonis has it. Comes up the floor. Drives inside. Bounce pass to a cutting Duarte. There's a beautiful cut to the rack and a score. And that will result in a timeout being called by Philadelphia. Sabonis tapping his chest. He's being acknowledged here by his teammates because he has the double-double that is the first time extending a streak now to 54 consecutive games.
Hey.
So cool.
Look at that. Want to also point out, too, arguing with one of our ding-dong, speaking of loving our listeners, not all of them, though, one of our ding-dong listeners, Roy, on who's now switched over to Twitter, but we'll see him in the YouTube chat every once in a while. I had made a comment last night, which I don't think was out of line whatsoever, after the very beginning of the game. If you look at the replay, Domantas Sabonis took an absolute elbow shot to the chin. Now, as a fan of the fight sports, we all know the chin is what we call the button. That is where you want to hit somebody and you want to concuss them, you want to knock them out. That's the easiest way to do it. Replay after replay showed he took a full force elbow to the chin, and you could tell, not that he's ever faking it or anything, there might be some drama there, but that he was like legitimately hurt. Like he, and what I'd said is, if this was the NFL and he took a shot like that, they'd have him out a little bit for concussion protocol. And for him to be able to, it's not just the triple doubles that he leads the league in or the double doubles that he just broke the record for. It's the fact that in a contract year, basically, or coming up on a contract year, he played through a broken hand for almost the entire season last year. He last night, after taking that shot to the chin, got a shot on the side of the head on the in the temple, which if anybody's ever been elbowed in the temple, it's no fun.
Right.
To the point where he was bleeding. He had a gash on the side of his temple, and it's like, clean me up, cut me, Mick, and put me back in. He's tough as nails, and no offense to anybody else on the team, there's no one in the league that brings it more every single night than Domantas Sabonis. Every night.
He plays the same way.
Same way. Yep. Doesn't matter who he's playing. He might have the occasional off night, but there is no like, oh, Domas really seemed lethargic out there.
Well, and you know, we go through different talking points and different things we talk about to the season when they're losing, whatever. This team needs dogs. How is he not that?
He is a dog.
He's been that.
What he's not, and where I think the disconnect maybe is, what he's not is he. When I say dog,
yeah,
I mean like Trey Lyles is kind of dogish. The guy that's
that might get into it with another teammate,
yeah.
But his superpower is everything you just said.
Yes,
playing every day, playing well, playing the same way, playing hard. And if that's not a great example to anybody else on the team.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think we'll hear it later, but De'Aaron, a visit with G-Man, he's like, look, the day after the All-Star break, I mean, he had food poisoning. He was really sick. We were sure he wasn't playing.
Wow.
And when he plays, like, how's anybody else supposed to say, well, you know what, I don't feel
he plays through everything.
Yeah.
He is a consummate professional. I know there's all this talk about Halliburton and Sabonis and yada, yada, in all seriousness. Love Halle, love the trade, love, hope he does everything. I wouldn't change any. Would not change it for the world. What an amazing trade. What an amazing acquisition. And I think Domantas Sabonis is already, I think, relatively easily in the top five Sacramento Kings of all time. He needs more longevity, but, you know, one would argue. But I think performance-wise, he's there.
He's had arguably the best season ever by a Sacramento. You traded for the person that had the best season ever in Sacramento Kings
I think
history.
This is it.
It's him or Weber. Weber's the only person that ever made a first-team All-NBA.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if Sabonis will make first-team. It would be another snub, but...
I don't think he will either, but I would also say this. Weber wouldn't have made it over Jokic.
Right. But it's also three front-court players. So to me, the four front-court candidates are Jokic, Sabonis, Giannis, and Tatum.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to get it.
I think he should. I'm a purple glasses-wearing guy.
Who do you take out? And what's funny, when people automatically say I'm going to just say this, and I feel like it'll be total pushback.
Yeah.
When people say you can't take out Jokic, just why? I mean, tell me why. Is he, like, I know your phrasing has been diet.
Yeah.
But what's the diet part?
I think the diet part at this point.
Is what, scoring?
It's scoring and it's seeding. Jokic is the defending champion. Jokic is the one seed in the West. Jokic is yes, he has Porter. Yes, he has Jamal Murray.
Oh, no.
He is the alpha and the omega. Okay. And, yeah, I think he's right. And by the way, is he still ahead of Domantas in assist average?
I don't know, but Sabonis leads the NBA in assists in 2024.
Yeah, in 2024, yes, you're 100% correct. I just honestly, I know Jokic had him. Let's look here real quick. Jokic has 9. Sabonis has 8.3, so he's just under a full assist ahead of him. And then when it comes to scoring,
yeah, I mean, more.
That's he's got him by
rebounding. Yeah,
right. So
I mean, I don't think it's as lopsided.
I agree with you.
I mean, I would pick Jokic too.
I would pick Jokic. I can't leave Giannis out because not only what he's doing offensively, but also, sorry, he's a better defender than Sabonis.
Okay, and then Tatum. If we're doing seeding, if Jokic is winning, is a favorite. There's nobody that has a better record than Boston.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know we would feel a certain way if Tatum was on the Kings, or the Kings had that record and didn't get a first-team All-NBA.
Yeah, you're right.
But second team, there's nothing wrong with second team.
No.
But I still think, look, double-doubles, stats, all that, Sabonis had an amazing season.
I think Sabonis should get it anyways, even though that would screw somebody else, but I don't care. Matthew, good morning. Matthew, are we turned up
there? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi, good morning. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, man. Just headed off to work.
Head off to work. What do we do for a living?
I install Fidium fiber internet.
Were you at my house the other day asking me if I wanted Fidium?
I don't do the sales, but I do the install.
Gotcha, gotcha. Somebody came by. No, thank you, but appreciate it. What was the Jiffy Lube drive of the game, my friend?
Was it Domantas Sabonis drives to the basket?
What? Is that your?
It was against Buddy Hield, wasn't it? I was listening to it on the radio last night, man. I was working late last night.
So your contribution, we appreciate you listening, but your guess is, again, what? Domantas Sabonis doing what?
Driving to the hole against Buddy Hield.
I am sorry.
Oh.
We have our first miss in a while. We appreciate
him
listening.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
That
last
is
night.
That is not that many is, good that plays. Is, yeah, that is not it. Oh. No, that is not. Chris, good morning, Chris. You've got a second life. Hello.
Good morning, Dave. Morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thank you.
Morning. I appreciate you saying good morning to Jason,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because I get a complex.
Yeah, sometimes people are just like, hey, Dave, I'm rooting for you.
I go and cry.
What was the, I get a big snot stain on my shoulder.
Do. You're very, there for me.
What was the Jiffy Lube drive of the game?
Was it Keon Ellis making a three-pointer but assisted by De'Aaron Fox?
Was it Keon Ellis making a three-pointer assisted by De'Aaron Fox? Jason, I'll ask you to look, and you agree or disagree with me.
Are we over?
I think we are.
Unless that's mislabeled. I honestly don't remember.
Kind of what I'm starting to worry about, but maybe not. Let's see one more.
Those are two clearly different answers.
Michael, good morning.
Hey, I'm guessing it was a Fox entry pass to Mitchell.
Fox entry pass.
I don't like when they say guessing.
And that's what was.
It was a while ago. I work graveyard, so
gotcha.
I'm a bit sleepy.
That's okay. So am I. They say third time's a charm.
They do.
But I don't know if that's accurate.
One dribble only. Hands it off to Fox. Great pass inside. And a twisting reverse is scored by Davion Mitchell. Without a doubt, that's your Jiffy Lube drive of the game. Spectacular entry pass on the bounce from De'Aaron Fox to Davion Mitchell for the quick 2 points and a four-point Sacramento lead.
Hey, congratulations on two fronts. Number one, you stayed up after the graveyard to get the big Jiffy Lube $100 gift certificate. Secondly, thank you, because we were beginning to doubt ourselves that it was mislabeled. Davion Mitchell, beautiful entry pass from De'Aaron Fox. Michael, congratulations. The only other thing I ask of you is just a favor. This isn't a requirement to win, but what sports station makes all your Jiffy Lube $100 gift certificate dreams come true?
Sacktown Sports.
I just love it. I love it when they hit it.
Clutch.
You underhand it a little, but.
Yeah. It's like just, he woke up for that. Sacktown Sports.
Not going to be able to work tonight. He's going to be up all day. Yeah. Super excited. Thank you to Jiffy Lube as well. We'll take a break. We've still got to get to Domantas post-game audio. We got a lot of sound to get to. When we come back, though, Jason, are the Kings. Hold on. Are the Kings?
Careful.
I can do this. I know we got a break here. Are the Kings good at defense?
Excuse me?
Are they
good at business?
But defense.
Let's, crazy talk.
Can we have a discussion about
it? We can. We'll try.
All right. We'll do that next.